Good evening, sports fans. My name is Dave Medina, and I am bringing you the world of sports as seen through the eyes of a guy in a little apartment in Santa Barbara. Good morning, sports fans. Good morning, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans.
From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Welcome to the Top 5 Did Count episode 2018, our special Did Count retrospective and part of our season-long 10 years of Did Count celebration. I'm Dave Medina, and on this edition, we remember the much-anticipated matchup of Patriots-Mongos versus Eagles-Mongos in the Super Bowl. A Couple Quickies takes great exception to a Chicago institution. We dig into one of our first Oscars previews, and in the mix, a shocking admission by Mike in North Jersey and John in Connecticut. Now we switch to defense, and we'll go outside in. We'll start with the defensive backs, cornerbacks, and safeties. Among the ones that are highlighted near the top of the draft, Denzel Ward from Ohio State, that's one. Derwin James from Florida State. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, who we also remember very well from Alabama all the way through the championship game. So a lot of that going on in the West, meaning the Pac-12. We saw Vita V from UW, and Marcus Davin. Oh wait, no. I got a little carried away. I went. Yeah, that's a defensive tackle.
yep.
But anyway,
very easy to get them confused. Yeah. I think Vita V is like 350 pounds. So get him confused with defensive backs.
Not really one to get confused with the defensive backfield. No. That's a bonus clip from April of 2018. That was part of our NFL draft preview with Ron in New Jersey. And yeah, mixing up a defensive tackle, 300 pounds over a typical 180 to 200 pound. Defensive back, definitely a mix-up of epic proportions. But that was a good preview. We had a good time with that. So let's start our countdown tonight with number 5 in our top 5 episodes of 2018. And from that top 5, number 5, but certainly not a bad clip at all. This was a tremendous moment. It was the WrestleMania 34 preview. Another hilarious edition of our WrestleMania podcast, and some real surprises in this one too, and probably another case of Dave, not fully paying attention to all the details.
And don't forget, we have a Taz post-game show on Sunday night.
Oh, baby!
Rick and Charlotte.
Yeah, they'll probably get better ratings than CMB, actually.
Is he just going to stay up all night? Because doesn't he work at 6 o'clock the next morning?
I think they rebroadcast it the next day.
And Evan,
there is nothing. Think about your Sunday, okay? Yeah, good sports fan, folks. You're watching the Masters all day. Maybe you got WrestleMania on two TVs. You've been through 12 hours of sports, and now you're going to put on the fucking Taz show. Holy shit. You're gonna have your head examined.
Why do you think alcohol was invented?
why do you think heroin was invented?
Oh, that's funny. All right, so I think that's good enough for the Royal. Thanks, fellas. Now let's do the Women's Battle Royal. We have Carmella as a favorite at minus.
And listen, if you thought the Men's Battle Royal was worth it, let me tell you about the Women's Battle Royal.
Oh, God. Yeah, so there it is.
Yeah, I mean, does it have any stakes? Like, what do you win? Like, do you win anything? Do you win? Like, do they get anything?
Well, are you guys aware of the, I'm sure some of the hardcores are aware of the fabulous Moolah controversy?
Yeah.
Yes. So it was supposed to be named after the fabulous Moolah. Turns out she's a pimp who abused her stable of women's wrestlers, so... Snickers had it shut down for the WWE because they weren't going to do it themselves. So the interesting part is what they're fighting over is now a trophy, which looks remarkably like a uterus. and I'm not exaggerating in the least. You got to look at an image of it. It looks exactly like a fucking uterus. So you can't say the WWF doesn't have a sense of humor. God bless them.
Boy, it's amazing what they can get away with in this day and age. But all right, anybody else want to comment on it? I'll give it to Fids.
Are we making picks for the Women's Battle Royal?
Not really, but
I think you pick the field.
I guess you can pick the field here, or pick
Carmel. I want to make a pick.
All right.
Uh-oh.
My pick is Boxman.
For what? To win?
For the Women's Battle Royal. He can beat up all the women.
Oh! Oh, I was just figuring that out. All right. Well, he obviously thinks
gimmick now. I haven't been around much. Is that his gimmick?
Well, he can beat them all in basketball and hockey, so why not in wrestling too, right?
You know why Boxman's so dangerous at WrestleMania? He can identify the planes doing the flyover.
I've been noticing a trend where, like, every match, like, none of them are between, like, two combatants anymore. It's, like, 5-4-3 guys, like, all fighting at once. I guess, like, they need to fit them in the show.
Yeah. Well, they have two shows, and they have too many matches. So I think they should have two WrestleManias. They should have one on Saturday and one on Sunday. Because they just can't fit it. I mean, it's already 5 o'clock to midnight, and they got to stick 6 people in each match. They don't have time to give
these
guys.
My God, that's a great idea. Two nights of WrestleMania.
How would they divide that?
SmackDown WrestleMania on Saturday and Raw WrestleMania on Sunday.
But if you do it that definitively, you're going to get way more people doing the second one versus the first one.
Would but don't they have...
They'd sell it as a strip, right, tickets-wise. You'd get tickets to both.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't they have one on Saturday, though? Like their NXT?
They have an NXT takeover.
Yeah.
So, and then on Friday night, they have the Hall of Fame.
It's like 11 hours of wrestling from Saturday to Sunday, which is like ridiculous. Like, I don't know how anyone could watch that.
11 hours of men in their underwear.
That's
oily men in underwear. Like, it's get clear. I agree with everyone else. This match would probably be like the shortest match too. It probably like takes up like 6-7 minutes max, I would say.
The only intrigue I have in this match is where they put it on in the card. Because I could see them headlining the whole show with this match on the premise that Ronda Rousey, like, Ronda also does nothing for me. It's like, I never watch MMA and I have no,
but like, I haven't watched her on TV though. Has she been bad? Like, she's like bad talker or something.
Honestly, this is what I've heard about Ronda Rousey. It's that she was born. I swear.
I like how you like started laughing you before you finished that.
No, I shouldn't laugh, but I don't know if this is true or not, that she was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around her throat, and like she was kind of born with mild brain damage, and that's why she can't speak coherently. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Where the hell did you get that from?
I swear, it was in some like UFC promo. Maybe they're just trying to explain why she fucking talks like she's in fucking a cement mixer. Like, she can barely speak. What, was she fucking eating lead paint hot dogs in her life? She's the fucking half a retard who gets her head punched in, and she can't even do that well. She sucks. Get her off the TV. No one cares.
She had a, you know, it's funny. I mean, I think as the years have gone by, I've gotten the impression, even going back to her MMA stuff, that she may have been one of the most could have been possibly a very overrated fighter, and she had a niche. She figured out, she had a little thing going, but then once somebody finally beat her, she'd never been the same. So I find that very interesting how that's occurred. And, you know, they tried to put her in movies, they tried to put her in interviews, and almost every interview I've heard her in has been pretty awkward. I mean, I think I saw one against...
I forgot about that, Dave. She's supposed to be fucking Swayze in the remake of Roadhouse.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, she was going to be in Roadhouse, and, like, they just grabbed that when she lost. He was like, "No, we're good. Like, we'll call you back."
That's sitting in a vault like Jerry Lewis's Nazi clown movie. Like, we're never going to see that Roadhouse.
It's crazy, man. It
but
really...
like, had the crowds been like cheering her or like they like give a crap or?
I think they want to cheer her, but they're starting to realize that she's not very good at the promo thing. They need to see her in the ring. I mean, I think if she's bad in the ring, then she's got nothing for them. But if she's good in the ring, they can work around it.
Has she officially fought anybody yet?
No, this is her first match.
Really? Why is her first match in a WrestleMania? Like, why didn't they do a couple of Raw and, you know, events and stuff like that first?
They're trying to promote it like it's her first match.
Yeah. They want to make you pay for it, man. They want you $9.99.
Yeah. We'll go to our first of these solo matches, and I think I made the point that you know, solo one-on-one tennis is often a lot better than doubles tennis, and I think that everybody would agree with that. So anyway, we're into it now, and I think at this point we're probably going to be about 5, 6, maybe 7 hours into the card, and we have Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship. I'm going to ask you guys two questions. Number one, who's going to win? And number two, who is the better starlet in your eyes? So we'll and this is
the wrong match for that question.
Really? Right.
Yeah, I need to.
I think we can all take that one, right?
Yeah, that L-E-T at the end of words means like small, right? Starlet.
Yeah. All right.
Doesn't apply here.
It doesn't
apply here, Dave. So Nia Jax, in case you don't, apparently you don't know, Nia Jax, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh, goodness.
Or at least they bill her at 280 pounds.
Can we isolate that clip for the new show intro, whatever they got?
For the intro.
Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
Give us a chance to eat the damn thing. I'm the only one in America who can.
Well, let's get to the next match. The appropriately named Charlotte, what am I talking about? Daughter of, daughter? Or granddaughter? Because, you know, Ric Flair's
daughter.
Daughter.
Wow. Holy cow. The daughter of Ric Flair against Asuka, is that right? Is that how you say it? For the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Now, you guys were...
I have a prediction.
Okay.
My prediction is Asuka will be very grouchy.
Oh, boy.
That was my bad yachts for the night.
What was it? I honestly wasn't even paying attention.
Asuka is very grouchy.
I said Asuka will be grouchy.
Oh, all right.
That deserves.
Anyway, I think the first person who should talk about this match is Charlotte's father, and I think we have him on the line.
Let me tell you something, Daddy. Woo! If you think you're gonna get on Nippon Airlines, Daddy, woo! I've been to the Tokyo Dome. And you want to paint a line on your face and dye your hair and think you're a blue chipper? Asuka! Woo! You got another thing coming, Daddy.
I got nothing, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
That sounded more like Goldust's father than Charles.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was like a combination of Rick and Dusty.
Everything about the Rick and Charlotte concept is great, except for my fucking impression. I wish I could do Rick Flair. It's kind of like Chevy Chase doing Gerald Ford. There's nothing to do with reality other than just saying, "Oh, I'm Gerald Ford. I'm Rick and Charlotte." Woo,
woo. Yes. But it's fun anyway. I love the candor of it, though. I think you got the spirit of it right. You know, I mean, perhaps the
that's all I have. Glad damn well don't have the voice.
I give it to you for Macho Man, though. Your Macho Man is phenomenal. Like that's a good one. That's one.
I keep meaning to call Dog as Randy in Sarasota.
From the Crave, calling to the Dog Show.
Doggy, what do you think of Joe Panic and Yosemite Petit? Doggy, I've been thinking about Rick Russell for the Hall of Fame. What do you say, Daddy?
I think Max Memphis Max Memphis has a lifetime pass for calling Boomer a son of a bitch yesterday.
That was fun.
All right, so who's gonna last longer? Here's a good prop: Vince McMahon or CMB?
that's an easy one.
All right, fair enough. I guess that is pretty easy. Do they make it the year? A lot of people say no.
Not all three of them.
But yeah, the afternoon drive makes a year. Not all three of them.
Well, okay. I would have thought
they would have made it at the beginning of the year, but I don't know about now, to be honest.
I think Chernoff is going to try to – he's going to try to – because this is like a GM who drafts a player who sucks and they can't get rid of the player because they're attached.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's going to try to fix it any which way. He's going to get rid of one of them, try that. Then you know he's gonna try to tweak it here, tweak it there. He's gonna give it a lot of time because it's his. And so, but I think the first major tweak, will be to get rid of one of the three of them.
Who would you pick?
Hopefully they fire Minko to show him that he's.
You know, I think most people, am I
firing the guy or am I predicting who?
No, you're predicting because I know the answer. If you're the one making the choice, I know the answer.
I think it's Maggie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
would
agree. Yeah. Wow. Because I think most people would say it's Sparks, but then, like, the teams of, like, the talk show host guy and a football guy, that's, like, it works in, like, so many markets. So, like, I don't think they would get rid of Bart and, like, make it, like, Chris Carlin and Maggie Gray. That wouldn't make any sense. But the team of, talk show host guy.
Radio guy and football guy is the entire sports radio format now.
But wait, you're saying the football guy, the sports guy, and the alien don't work as a three in other markets?
You know what? I got to be honest. She might be the worst of the trio, so I'm not really, I wouldn't really cry any tears for her or anything.
I am still a little baffled maybe I shouldn't be, but I mean, Idear was really going to bat for Carlin this morning. An idea on the message board. His name is This Idea officially. His real name is Richard Litvak, I think. Litvak, putting
give out address and phone number too.
You want to give out his name?
I might be getting a little overstepping.
Hold on, I missed the last. Can you repeat the last three digits?
Wait, if T.I.'s name is actually Dick Ledzak, so that's the greatest name I've ever heard.
Don't turn your back on the Litvak.
It's a great name. It is a cool name, whatever the status may be. But, yeah, I guess he was just making the case that he's the best of the three. I mean, to be fair, he's probably right, but he sucks. I mean, he is bad. I don't know. How did he end up having a show for as long as he did in Philadelphia? I don't care if it's football or hockey or whatever. He can't talk any sports.
It wasn't that long. He was only there for 9-10 months.
Oh, really?
I say there. I mean here. Yeah, he wasn't here that long. He was. I mean, most of his post Mike and the Mad Dog life, he's been on SNY.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
When
did he leave the SNY? Yeah. Then he went to the radio, and then he came right back. So yeah, he probably is 9 months.
Yeah, I don't think he was at WIP for that long.
Oh, okay.
And T.I. loves shit. So,
he does. That's true. That is true. For what it's worth. Yeah. But I guess he's not wrong in the end. I mean, because he probably is the best of three terrible turds, but it's. And I don't even think Bart's
he's not,
that.
I can't even let that go by. Though. He's not. He fucking sucks. He's goddamn awful.
No, he is. He absolutely is. I mean, there's no question. Like
he's terrible.
Oh, he's awful.
He's by far the worst of the three.
So I just looked at his Wikipedia. He joined WIP in November of 2016.
Oh wow, yeah, that is.
So yeah, recently.
Yeah.
Now when was he interning for Mike and the Mad Dog when they were fucking like when the Knicks were good?
When
Michael Jordan was winning titles, he was interning. So like,
his Wikipedia says he began as an intern in 1995.
Wow, he was a producer for like 10 years because like.
He was an intern first.
Oh, okay.
So you know who was interning like 3 years before him is like Ian Eagle, who's fucking now a national network.
Nah, he's the man. You know, he's good.
Carlin just the guy's fucking
right. Bad. Yeah, the quality of like the interns and the producers like it's been like going downhill precipitously.
Yeah, I mean it comes and goes. They had Kevin Burkhart and they had Steve Levy doing updates.
Yeah.
Who have turned into something after they left. Right. But some of these guys.
Spiro Dedis, yeah, too, was in there? Then, was part of that?
Yes. Yes. Wow. He was doing I remember him doing updates.
Yeah. No, he's pretty good, too.
I think I've actually heard Burkhart do a radio show. Like, he was like, whatever. I mean, he would be a lot better than Carlin, I would guess.
I would agree 100%.
Right. I mean, he's got a much better job than that now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen. Like I'm sorry. I didn't think you guys were going to stop, but... But I'll tell you this, and when I said that Carlin's the best of the three, I'm telling you, he's still awful. I mean, he's the first sports host I've listened to more than once or twice that my ears seriously start hurting after listening to any segment with him. It's just so painful. It's physically painful to listen to that show.
Just the actual tone of it, like just vocally, and you know, we've talked about it on the board and on this podcast before about how he. You know, sits 10 feet away from the microphone.
Yeah.
He is
always screaming, and he never really has anything useful to say. He's always just trying to take any possible bold statement that would stick and just ride it the whole show.
And even if he did have anything interesting to say, it would still sound horrible. But he doesn't.
No. Look, you guys know my voice sucks, too. Like, in terms of, like, the timbre. I am not that guy that used to do the trailers that's no longer with us. I mean, I'm not that kind of voice. I don't have a velvety tone. I am not I'm not Vincent Price at all. But man, I do know when to like turn it on and turn it off. And this guy has no volume control at all. It broke. It just throws it in your face. And so, you know, there's a difference.
Dave, what you bring though. In all sincerity, is that, you know, you hear your voice and you say, oh, I want to spend some time with Dave. You know, I want to listen to this for a while. I mean, Carlin's like I always equate it to this. It's like when you got to go to a fucking party with your girlfriend and you got to hang out with her girlfriend's friends, like boyfriends, and you have that, like, awful, just the most base sports conversation, and they're just repeating the most blandest fucking takes they heard from fucking Stephen A. Smith or something. I mean, you just have to get through it at the party where you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
RG3. Yeah, RG3 and the Ravens. Crazy, right? So, you know. Just like, I'll be home in a fucking hour and I'll be fucking, hopefully my girlfriend will be asleep. But, you know, but it's like, why would you listen to that on the radio? It's such a fucking awful show. I can't even hate listening anymore. It's just, that's what makes me annoyed. You know, I get through 40 minutes every day. I lose a minute of the show.
Do you guys know when Salicata Radio is coming out?
Sal,
I
actually,
know, but I hear it's going to be sick.
He's a substitute host on WOR, so for real, he is actually still working, which is more than you can say for some of these guys.
What kind of fucking house in Mastic are you getting to fucking be a WOR part-time host?
Once in a while.
Sal is truly that base. And Sal and Carlin had a show together, right? Were they on, like, one of those SNY, like, what were those?
Loudmouth?
Oh, were they on Loudmouth?
Yeah. Do they still have those shows, SNY, all those like talking head shows? the debate shows, or did they like get rid of all of them?
They still have them. They don't have the same names anymore. Like, it's not Loudmouth anymore. Okay. But they still have shows. Like, well, they're all corporate
money,
though,
right? That was the Carlin show.
From April 4th of the year, number 5 in our top 5 of 2018, WrestleMania 34 preview, in which there were quite a bunch of highlights, and we hope you enjoyed all of them, even though that was a pretty long segment. But I thought it was worth it. It was really a lot of juice there. So let's go to number 4 in our countdown of the top 5 of the year. And from 2018, this is right at the beginning of the year, but certainly a very juicy moment as well. Super Bowl weeks can be hit and miss, I will admit, but this was one of the better ones. And a lot of it had to do with the fan bases involved in the forthcoming Super Bowl. What would that have been? Super Bowl 52, I think. Yes, so it was Super Bowl 52. That's right. So thanks for that. This matchup featured the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles, but it was more than that. It was a matchup of the New England Patriots Mongo fans versus the Philadelphia Eagles Mongo fans. And representing either side was Parcells falling out for the Patriots fans, even though he's actually a Giant fan, but since he's living in it, we thought he was a good candidate to represent them. And for Philadelphia, who else but Ari in Philadelphia? So we have assembled for you some highlights from Super Bowl week, at that point, part 2 of the week. And it was the local fan updates from Philadelphia and New England, number 4 in our top 5 of 2018. On we go. It should be a good time. As we begin our Super Bowl week podcast, now we're into the middle of it, as we look at what's happening out there with fans. And now, from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, it is the one and only man with the baseball, Ari in Philadelphia. Ari, welcome back.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello, Dave. I'm happy to be here representing this city and this fans of this team that I don't root for. But I am here on the scene to present to you a study of an Eagles fan in his natural habitat.
Absolutely. Now, if you've been following Fiddle on Twitter at Fiddle Elfier, I don't know if you have a underscore in there or not, but if you've been
No underscore.
Okay. So if you've been following Fids on Twitter, you have been seeing a lot of crazy updates from the Eagles fan base. So now, Fids, for our audience, what are some of the highlights of the Mongo Philadelphia behavior so far as we count down to Super Bowl 52?
Well, I think everybody knows this, but maybe they don't. I mean, every city has a hierarchy of teams, which teams are more important and less important in the city. The Eagles are far and away the most important team in this city out of all the 4 teams that they have. And unlike a place like New York and Los Angeles, everybody here that roots for a football team roots for the Eagles. There's not split fan bases. There's only one team in the city. And so unlike even when the Phillies were in the World Series or when the Flyers were in the Cup Finals, this city is insane right now. And it's like they make no pretense of being objective, of being of not being unabashed fans of the team. And I'm talking about news people. So the entire local news market has been transformed into basically every newscast is an Eagles pep rally. The night they won the NFC title game, the newscasters did the news in Eagles NFC championship t-shirts and hats. And so that's kind of the baseline of what we're dealing with. And of course the news that night was all the people in the streets going nuts because they won the game. So we're to the point now. I watched a newscast today just to prepare for doing this spot with you tonight. And basically the news, every time they have to report on something that's not this football game, they basically have to preface it with an apology to the audience. And it's like, you know, in other news today, you know, it's shockingly to you, we're not covering the football game for this next 3 minutes. We're going to talk about a murder and a fire and, you know, whatever else the local news ordinarily covers. But, oh, but now back to the game. And we've got like four different people. Like, you got an anchor standing outside the stadium, and then you've got a guy at a reporter at FanFest, and then you've got the sports director who is at Radio Row interviewing the guys from the local radio station who are also at Radio Row, and that's the newscast. You know, what's the weather going to be in Minnesota on Sunday? The game's in a dome stadium. It really doesn't matter. Like, it's going to be 0 degrees in Minnesota on Sunday, but it doesn't matter. But there are, you know, you gotta have everything. So, I mean, that's just like the local media is like rah rah, unabashedly, you know, let's go Eagles. And you know, it's just not, I'm not used to that, but you know, it's kind of nice in a community building kind of way, even though I don't root for the team. But you know, it's nice to be embedded in the culture and embedded in the frenzy, even if the frenzy is basically rooting for something that you don't root for. Mm-hmm. It's still something to experience. And, you know, it was an even weirder experience in 2008 when they won the World Series, and that's a team I actually can't stand.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because they're a division rival of a team I root for. The Eagles are a division rival of the Giants, who I nominally root for, but not really. I don't really follow the NFL anymore, so I don't hate the Eagles like I'm, I guess, supposed to. So it's kind of like it's an experience where I'm here locally seeing all of this stuff that's going on, even though I'm not part of it. So it's a lot of fun. So you've got let me try to think of some of the highlights of what these people are doing on a daily basis. And it's, you know, and we're just getting started. It's only Tuesday.
Oh yeah,
we've got five more days of my kid's school. Every Friday, all the kids are supposed to wear Eagle stuff. So, like, every other day, it's a school. This is school. They wear uniforms. But you get a special dispensation, a dress down day on the Friday before every Eagles playoff game where you can dress down and not wear the uniform, but only if you're wearing green or if you're wearing, you know, Eagle stuff or Eagles colors. And so that's like, you know, they basically converted the entire school. You know, today, he had to go into school, my son, prepared to write a few sentences about his favorite Eagles player. Like, assuming every kid has a favorite Eagles player. You know, it's unheard of that he might not, as an 8-year-old, have a favorite Eagles player. So the school did a penmanship test. They do penmanship tests every couple of weeks or a quarter or whatever. And he wrote home today. And the penmanship test was "Fly Eagles Fly," the whole fight song. And that's what they told the kids they had to write for the penmanship test this week.
That is hysterical.
So that's just my life.
Wow.
You know, the other people who I'm observing from afar here, you've got so Philadelphia obviously has all of the colonial historical stuff in the historical district, like the Liberty Bell and the Congress Hall where the Constitution was ratified and, you know, those kind of places. And down there, they have people whose job it is to dress up like historical figures, like you've got a Ben Franklin and you've got, you know, people like that. And so they have a Betsy Ross whose job it is to be down there outside and, you know, greet the tourists and other people who are looking at the historical sites and be Betsy Ross. And so Betsy Ross this week says, you may know me as a patriot, but this week I am not a patriot. I am a loyalist, an Eagles loyalist.
I saw this clip. This is so funny.
Like, oh my God.
So that was great.
That's Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross basically turns on the revolution.
Yeah.
So she can be, you know, she root for the Eagles.
Oh, goodness.
And you've got, you saw this too, because I tweeted it at you because I know you appreciate this stuff that I've been tweeting. So I've been tagging you in it. The Boston Market restaurants in Philadelphia are putting up signs over the word Boston Market. They now say Philly Market because God forbid anybody eat anything from Boston. Oh, I think Dunkin' Donuts, maybe not Dunkin' Donuts, it might be a different donut place, is not selling Boston cream donuts this week because you can't eat those. And I don't know what other, I can't think of any other ones that I tweeted out recently, but yeah. So, I mean, everybody knows now about the Crisco on the polls, right?
Yeah.
So, before the NFC Championship game, they posted signs that said no parking on Broad Street, 2 p.m. The game was at 4:30.
Right.
No, 6:30. The game was at 6:30. No parking, 2 p.m. until the next day. Because, you know, basically if you park on Broad Street, you're a target for rioting after the game. And that's basically, no matter how the game turns out, there's going to be people out there. And they're either going to be happy or they're going to be mad. And either way, they're going to be messing with cars. So no parking, and they greased up all the light posts with Crisco so that people wouldn't climb up them and hang off. But of course, these being, you know, plucky Philadelphians, it didn't work, and they climbed up the poles anyway.
they got commitment, man. So
that is the state of the city. So I tuned into local sports talk today, which I never do because I just don't follow the teams here. But I knew I was doing this spot today, and I kind of wanted to experience what's going on in that medium today.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were not breaking down X's and O's of the football game, talking about offense and defense and special teams. No, they were talking about have the callers call in. What would you give up to watch this game? And then one guy calls in. He says, my wife is pregnant and she's due any day now. And I told her that if the baby comes on Sunday, I will see her on Monday. Wow. Because I am going to watch this game.
Wow.
That's not just what would you give up to win the game.
That's just to watch.
What would you give up just to watch the game?
That is, wow. I don't even.
So, and that's just, you know, one of many callers on that topic. Like, what would you give up? I would give up. I would rather celebrate a Super Bowl win than celebrate one of my kids' birthdays. You know, these are the, so this is, I guess, yeah, I don't know. So.
Yeah. I might kind of side with him on that one, though, because, like, the kid's birthday is kind of gets a little tedious after a while, but
I guess.
All right, so good update. Let's now bring in. You really crushed that. That's pretty good. So now.
I mean, I'm waiting for it to, you know, I'm sure the city's not done.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yeah, every newscast. So they have special newscasts called. So the newscasts now have subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
One more win.
One more win.
On the news.
That's hysterical. On the news. That is.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think that was possible today to have that kind of partisanship with a team. But we're about to find out where just how far this can go because.
I'm going to tell you a story.
All right, time to bring in the other side of the ledger. And coming to you from Connecticut, it is Parcells Falling Out. Parcells, welcome to the show. How's it going tonight?
Doing all right, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
How you
doing, Fiddle? Forgive the use of the
What's
song,
up,
but yeah, help say hello to Fids. Fids, say hello to Parcells. And, you know, you guys know each other from the WWE show.
Yeah, I get entrance music now. That's fantastic.
We did one for Fids too.
I got entrance music too. I was gonna supply my own, but no need.
All right, so let's just clarify something here. That song being so recognizable from Boston and Fenway and that sort of thing, you know, me being a New York fan through and through, you know, and located in northeastern Connecticut, you know, I'm not so sure how thrilled I am about having that as my theme song. We may have to work on something else, but
I get that
future
completely.
Appearances, but I'll take it for today. So
yeah,
how you guys doing? All right,
good. Yeah,
good.
I couldn't do Sweet Caroline, so this is probably the next best one I could come up with, or the Cars, but
or the band Boston. Yeah.
How about Brass Bonanza? for my location.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's
the old Hartford Whalers theme.
Yeah.
Even though being a Rangers fan, you know, I would settle for something like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, hey, so let me just jump in here with a little bit of geography. All right. So, you know, being here in Connecticut, being split right between New York and Boston. So basically, half of the state kind of roots for New York. The other half roots for Boston. The state is split pretty much right down the middle by the Connecticut River.
Mm-hmm.
So it runs from Massachusetts straight down the entire state, probably right through New Haven or east of New Haven into the Long Island Sound. So west of the Connecticut River, you start getting more New York sports teams. East of the Connecticut River, you start getting into Rhode Island, you know, Massachusetts, and that's Boston is. So I am located about 15 minutes east of Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
So we are about, I would say, 70-30 Boston sports teams where I'm located. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in Boston, but I am right in the middle of Patriots Mongos of all ages.
Wow.
You know, friends of mine, you know, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s. I coach little Mongos, Patriot Mongos in basketball, who drive me up a wall with this stuff. So, you know, I'm getting it from all angles here.
Yeah, that's it's definitely quite a see, I didn't know exactly how close you were to Boston, but yeah, that's pretty close. Like I you know, I realized that half and half, and you're on that half. Oh, man. It must be going crazy.
Yeah, so I'm about, time-wise, I'm about an hour 20 from Boston, and I'm 2 hours from New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Boston is an easy trip, trip for us.
Are there any, like, promotions at restaurants and things for the Patriots right now? Because the Super Bowl is coming up, and maybe it's, like, a thing to show solidarity, like, I don't know, like, buy two, get one off, or... It's like something like
yeah,
that.
I haven't seen any of that. You know, they run some Red Sox stuff during baseball season, like kids eat free if mm-hmm. the Red Sox win the night before
mm-hmm.
At a local chain. I haven't seen anything for the Super Bowl. You know, the restaurant stuff I've seen on TV has been basically, you know, the local news crew showing up at the sports bar the day of the AFC Championship. Hey, you know, what are you having? What are you eating? What type of wings? And, you know, who are you rooting for? That sort of stuff. You know, the hokey local news nonsense. That's really the only restaurant stuff I've seen.
Gotcha. And the newscasts, are they in full Mongo mode? Or are they going, yay, Patriots, you know, rah-rah Patriots and that sort of thing?
Yeah, they're, you know, they're kind of doing... like top of the news stuff, maybe not the top story, but the next story, they throw it to the Patriots. So, you know, it's really full on Patriots stuff up here right now. Really annoying, but you know, you just got to deal with it. Basically, you know, it's really not a fun time. And you know, the funny thing is that, you know, being a Giants fan is that, I got no one to root for in this game.
Yeah,
you know, with the Eagles, I can't possibly root for the Eagles, and it's just, you know, I'm just swallowed up by all this Patriot stuff year in year out up here. So it's tough. It's a little difficult right now, but you know, it's kind of fun. You know, anywhere you go and run into people, they're talking sports. So I'm always fine with that.
From January 30th, Super Bowl Week Part 2, local fan updates from Philadelphia and New England. Both Ari and Parcells did such a great job doing that episode. Number 4 in our top 5 of 2018. That was a great episode. We don't do the fan update type podcast often during Super Bowl Week, but when you get the Eagles fan base involved in the city of Philadelphia, that is just too good to pass up. I mean, there's going to be some years where the fan scene isn't that interesting from either side, but that was just a rare exception. So it's part of our continuously evolving series of Super Bowl weeks, and we always try to do something a little different with it each year, and that was a particularly good one.
Well, speaking of Saquon Barkley meet, do Saquon Barkley and Charles Barkley meet every Good Friday and listen to Gnarls Barkley? Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What have we come down to? What have we got? What have we done? That one caller that made the San Francisco Giants and the New York Giants call has just spawned into a bunch of asshole clowns trolling Mike on Twitter with the dumbest stuff ever. So, do the Giants and the Seahawks offensive line get together every Passover? Like, Jesus, get a life! Every time I see one of those tweets, a lion eats her young over and over again.
You can feel the consternation from Andy about those Twitter mongos. Oh, he was not feeling it that day. That by the way, came from one of our upcoming top five episodes, and we'll get you to that in a bit. But first, let's get to number three in our top five of the year, and it is random questions with a couple quickies. This was a good one. There are a lot of different facets to this episode in which a couple quickies really broke it all down and made us all laugh along the way. But we'll start with the obvious, his opening rant, which was really a take on the Chicago institution, that of the Chicago deep dish style pizza. And this guy is not a fan.
So in the game between the teams, five hits, one run.
Wow.
And six innings in Chicago.
Wow.
Imagine making that trip. You'd want to hang yourself. Have a Lou Malinotti pizza and drown yourself in it. Isn't that funny, Dave?
Well, here's something funny. You know, the broadcasters on the Chicago
Dave,
White Sox.
Can we curse on this, by the way?
Of course.
I just got to say, before we go any further, just fuck Lou Malinotti's pizza. This fucking Chicago deep dish bullshit fucking. It's like eating a towel with ketchup on it. It's disgusting. And these Chicagoans shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. That's all I got to say.
You know,
most overrated food town in America.
You know, the more you get to know pizza, the more you would come to that conclusion. Now, would you even call that pizza at this point?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't call it lasagna. I don't know if I damn well call it food. But sure as shit ain't pizza.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Fucking. It's such Midwestern cornball dick shit and fucking crap. And fucking. We're going to make a nice Italian pizza out of cornmeal. Go to fucking Naples and find me a fucking piece of corn. There ain't no fucking corn in Italy. So shove whatever this concoction you've made up your ass. The only thing worse than Chicago pizza is Scranton pizza.
Oh, I can't even imagine what that is.
I'll tell you the rub in Scranton pizza. They put fucking cheddar cheese on the pizza. Are you kidding me? If your life isn't bad enough in Scranton, you got to eat cheddar cheese on your pizza? It's disgusting.
What? Yeah, that wouldn't be good by itself. I mean, you can maybe cheddar with.
You know what you call cheddar cheese on a pizza? A fucking open-faced grilled cheese sandwich on pizza.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh,
no wonder these Rust Belt idiots have lead in their water. Fucking, that's what they deserve. Fucking momos.
Oh dear, that's funny. That's good.
I'd rather eat a pizza Elio's. I'd rather eat a pizza bagel than this goddamn swill. Ow. Anyway, Dave. Yeah. We're getting way far already. Sorry.
Well, that certainly was an unexpected turn. Later in the episode, a couple of quickies and I break down the not surprising fallacy of MoviePass. Remember that? I'll feel it out. I'll see how it does. I'll see if there's a lot of positive buzz about it, and if it's positive enough.
You know what would be a great way to see that movie, Dave?
This would be interesting.
If you had MoviePass.
Oh, no, man. Oh, God. What's going on with
how's
the movie?
How's that for a transition?
Well, it's all yours on this. This is quite a fiasco.
Well, I just kind of, all right, so just to set the table for everybody, I don't know if everyone, you know, obviously they're movie nerds. There was this company, or still is, actually, this
for
company
now.
Called MoviePass. Yes.
Yeah,
it was $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You could see a movie a day for a year. So, you know, let's say conservatively, a movie ticket costs, you know, $10. Average movie ticket costs around America $9, but you know, we're living in the New York area, it's more like $12 or $15. So, we'll say 10 to be kind.
Right.
You could buy over $3,000 worth of movie tickets with a little motivation and inclination, if you so desired, to see a movie every day. Well, it turns out this fucking genius business model does not work. because the company. There wasn't any magic deal. The company was like, just they said, all right, you buy the ticket, we'll reimburse the theater, and we're good to go. And we're gonna have all your data. It'll be great. And it turns out data isn't worth $3,000 a fucking year from every fucking schmo on earth. This fucking company got lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yep.
Their stock went from 800. Their stock of their parent company went from either $800 or $8,000. For the purposes of this exercise, it doesn't matter. But it goes from that number to 10 cents.
Oh, man.
It turns out putting a Mongo in charge of your company and giving them, you know, say, give me your best business model. Dude, would that company get off the ground on Shark Tank? They'd fucking vote them off there, right?
Nah, it probably wouldn't.
But anyway, I like any good person, I take advantage of a good deal. So.
Yep.
I can say I at least got my money, you know.
That's good.
I think I'd seen 14 movies with it. And then, you know, the last 2 weeks it's been in total fucking, like, free fall. One day they're shutting down. Another day they're like, you can at least. That's been the great part of it. You really got to be inside of it to really appreciate it, I guess. But it's,
yeah.
They send you different update emails. So they
really?
Literally. They sent three different changes to their whole platform in terms of service. They changed plans three times in a week. So now where the roulette wheel is spun is now you can see three movies a month for $10,
yeah.
Which is still a pretty fucking good deal.
Is that the one where? But didn't they say that you can't watch like any of the blockbuster movies when they come out?
No, they rescinded that.
Oh, okay.
But I think the only limitation maybe is like you can't buy the 3D tickets, and you know I never buy the 3D tickets anyway.
Okay.
So, or you can't buy the IMAX or whatever. So,
okay.
You know, small price to pay.
Yeah.
But believe me, I'm already seeing movie. I went to see Eighth Grade with my MoviePass. I reactivated MoviePass because chances are the whole thing's going to change again, and this company's not going to see September. But We'll get our movies out of it. But
all right.
I wish I had more of a rant for you. They came back with a.
They really completely redid their pricing plan structure in the, like 2 days between when you had that rant and we went to air. That's funny.
I really have to almost, you know, I wish I had had them all in front of me to kind of show you and walk you through it.
It's
it was
pretty,
crazy. Like they.
It really sounds like a circus.
Well, it's like. I'm sure it's everything you would teach a CEO not to do, like to send out these panicked emails of like, I can assure you we're getting to the bottom of this. you have my word that we are doing all we can to right the wrongs of MoviePass and blah, blah, blah. But,
that's hysterical. Yeah.
But, you know, MoviePass is interesting. It's funny. I saw a guy. Oh, I can't think of the movie now. I think it was a Blind Spotting that was out last week, which is another independent movie, which is supposed to be pretty good. But it's amazing. Like you show, you know, the ripple effect of what, you know, MoviePass does. Because if you're on the fence about seeing a movie, so many of us say, oh, I'll wait till video or, you know, I'm not going to spend $15 to go to the theater. But goddamn, if you got MoviePass, you know, you spend $10 for the month. It's like, well, if I'm marginally interested in the movie, I'll just go check it out. You know, I'll get out of this summer heat and get in the damn air conditioning for 2 hours and sit through a movie. You know, that was kind of what I did with Eighth Grade today. And, you know, I knew we were doing the show, so I was going to see it at some point, but,
But I think MoviePass is great for kind of smaller films like that. You know, that probably gave them an audience, because that's the gimmick with MoviePass, is you have to you can see a movie one time, and then you have to pick something else to see. So.
Oh, interesting! I didn't know that.
Yeah,
if you want to see a movie,
it probably sold a lot of tickets to shitty movies when people went back to see Infinity War three times.
Right. Interesting call.
Okay.
So. Well, that's cool though. That overall, I think that's really, really neat. Like, I think that it was an interesting idea, but I just never thought it was going to be financially sustainable. Just the concept of it, I didn't understand how it was going to make any money. I was like, how's this going to end well? How are they going to make any money from this? Because they're basically paying back the theater for the purchases. And if you end up seeing more movies than, like, let's say the average ticket cost would have been, just like you said, like, there's a certain amount that you can see that'll break the, you know, the amount that you would pay for the movie.
Well, Dave, have you ever played roulette?
I have occasionally.
Okay, so like, there's a thing I think every roulette player goes through, and it's a pretty common system. I think it's called, I don't know how it got the name, but it's called the Martingale gambling system, where everyone gets there in roulette at some point where they say, you know what, if I bet on black and I lose, I'll just double my bet and I'll bet on it again.
Oh no.
And if I win, I'm even. And if I lose that, I'll double my bet again.
Oh, no.
And if I lose that, I'll double my bet again.
Oh.
I can't lose. I am guaranteed a win. But guess what? Sometimes you get 13 blacks in a row. So it seems like the MoviePass, like, fucking corporate strategy was, let's play Martingale with our fucking investors' money. If we get every person on Earth to sign up for this, we're gonna break even. It's gonna be great.
Oh, good. Yeah.
When meanwhile they'd have to get fucking Martians to sign up for this to really.
Oh man, that is too funny. You know, this is gonna be a very memorable chapter in our nation's history. There's no doubt about it. Like, we're gonna look back on this.
Is it ever? It really is a wild time.
Absolutely. I'm ashamed. What happened here? Oh, I got thrown off because the TV went to commercial, and the commercial had like a yellow, brightly lit room, and I thought it was like having another light on the right of my studio. That really threw me off. But it's a shame I couldn't have had in on it. Like, it would have certainly been a fun experiment. But when I first heard about it, I just thought, there's no way this is going to last a year. That's why I didn't do it. I'm like, because what happens if the company goes under before I can get in the number of movies that I think would be worth it? I was very concerned about that possibility.
Like, I've been reading a lot about MoviePass because you get so irate that you feel like it's so. And I don't know much about business at all, you know.
Right.
I'm an artsy fartsy mongo. What do I know? But I do know when you say we hope to have 500,000 subscribers in a year, which is what they kind of rolled out their price point at, to say, like, all right, $9 a month, we'll get this many subscribers and we'll get to 500,000 in a year. And that's great growth. They literally got that many in a single day. And they're like, oh, maybe we fucked up the price of it. On the one hand, they're like, hey, we hit our goal. Everything's great. we beat the clock 364 days early. Like, that's what I don't get about business. And I don't get about, you know, this era of, like, data collection and all that. Like, how much could data be worth at some, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, at some point, what the hell... It was not worth $3,000 a year to get the fucking random musings of some idiot. But, I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
It's all right. But
Dave, fear not. I know AMC is kind of, they're ripping off MoviePass.
I saw that. Every time I go to AMC, they keep drilling me across the head. go get our movie pass. I was like, eh. From August the 7th, that was Random Questions with a Couple Quickies, Quickies Epic Chicago Pizza Rant, plus the movie pass debacle. We broke it all down back then in August of that year. Number 3 in our top 5 of 2018. 2018, we're getting pretty deep into our show history now, but still a lot of juice to be had this far on into the program's history. So now let's go revisit a clip that we did a few minutes ago, and we'll go to the episode from which it came, and that is number 2 in our top 5 of the year, and it is Miss Kicks Football Picks Week 2. Tom and Andy join Dave for football picks, and whenever you have Tom and Andy on the podcast at the same time, it's generally guaranteed juice, and this was no exception. We mentioned the rant with Andy doing the San Francisco Giants and the New York Giants stuff that irritated him, but there were actually quite a few things that happened on this episode, and we got into a lot of great topics.
Oh, what do you guys think about Brandon Nimmo? How much would you drop everything that you were doing if Brandon Nimmo was playing in your backyard? Would you drop?
Would you run in from the barbecue, Andy? Is that your question?
I could be dead for 2 years and come back and still know who exactly you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about Brandon Nimmo, though. Like,
I know who you're talking about, and I know who you're making a joke about. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's not even a joke. Fiddle's listening. If he is listening, it's not at him. It's the whole magic scenario. Like, I don't even. It wasn't even him. It's not even him that got. Maybe him too, but no. It's like the verified Twitter account. I don't know if it was the Mets or if it was a beat writer, someone associated with the Mets. Nimmo hit a home run on Friday. Nimmo hit a home run at Fenway at Fenway Park, and the tweet was like, "Brandon Nemo's orthodontist, like big Red Sox fan, like Nimmo hits his home run, smile included." I'm just like, "Oh my god, enough about his goddamn smile! Who the heck cares?"
Goodness. Yeah, well, no, I say this about the Mets. The Mets do hit a lot of home runs. They seem to have a knack for that. But overall, their offense is lacking, but they've been playing well. I don't really have anything else to say.
Michael Conforto.
Yeah.
You got Michael Conforto. Mr. I'm going to do well when it doesn't matter. Mr. I'm going to suck for 3 months and then do well the last 3 months. How many times have we seen this story? Now this time next year, it's going to be the same story, but he's going to suck again Monday, April through July. I mean, come on.
That's fine.
He does this every year, Dean.
You're calling
him. He's either hurt,
yeah, or
he's struggling.
They should never have traded Dark Dew. Their season, it was unfair to them because their catcher, like both their starting catcher and their backup catcher, like, didn't they both get hurt like back-to-back days in April? And you know, MLB didn't do them any favors with some of their schedules. And, you know, DeGrom, for whatever reason, he pitches great. The lineup just gets limp dick. And it just wasn't fair for them. But, you know, I don't know if we can do 1-2-3 begin. It's more like 1-2-3, it's over until next year.
They made some dumb moves, though, to set this up. You know what I mean? Like, why did they sign Jay Bruce and Todd Frazier? They could have signed
them.
They signed
them because they were cheap, Dave.
That's totally
it. No one else was willing to give them contracts.
Totally it, yeah.
So they got him on the and now Jay Bruce is another one. He's playing well. Watch out for the Mets next spring. It's the same story. Yeah. There's no bigger tease than the New York Mets. You got people like John and Georgia and Sandy and all these other Met fans who are all excited for next year now because Michael Conforto's hitting and Jay Bruce is healthy and he's hitting and, oh, Zach Wheeler, he's going to win the Cy Young next year. Enough. And this is an anti-Met thing. It's just an anti-let's stop being stupid thing. It's just idiotic how people get with the team.
Stupid thing. That's going to the intro.
I'll eat my words. Fiddle, Ari, Dave, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought Adrian Gonzalez would be a decent player for the Mets.
Yeah. We were on top of that one this time.
You were on top of that.
Yep. He is what he is. So I don't know if he's going to have another job. I mean, he's definitely lost his velocity on his bat. So I guess that's it. We're probably. But you know what's going to happen, Andy? It's going to be like 3 quarters through 2019 when he announces his retirement after you don't hear from him for a while. Just what players seem to do.
He's still in the league?
Exactly. Later in the episode, you'll hear some updates from Andy in Seattle. And as you can see, 2017 was a big year for a lot of us here on the show. And Andy got a new job in that year. And he shares some of his thoughts about the new position.
Not to go all about me, but so a big reason why I don't post on the board, it's not because
you're not posting anymore?
No, I made like 2 posts since I started the new job on August 1st. And it's not because I work with people that are like, what are you doing? Why are you surfing on the internet? Do not go on ESPN.com. Do not watch golf at work. But I work in the finance department, cannabis industry. A lot of people come into the accounting office to get debit cards, to ask questions, to get money, this, that, and the other. And so next week we're moving into a much bigger office, and I'm going to get my own little section. So more privacy, but I don't want to be on the board when constant people are coming in and out of the accounting office and they see my monitor and like Big Mike smileys and the Photoshop. And that's just, I don't need to explain that to people that I just started working with. I can talk to them till I'm blue in the face about sports and golf and food and stuff that we talk about on the board. But do I really need to explain some of those Photoshops and you know what I'm saying? Just why open that box?
You've become an adult. You've become an adult, Andy. I'm very proud.
I don't know about that, but
I'm very proud of you.
I guess I've wasted. It's next week. I might have some time to post, but
SP would be happy for you. SP would be beyond happy for you right now, and you've become an adult.
Soaking.
A lot of soaking sponge. You took up what he said, and now you're an adult. SP is very happy for you, and now he wants you to be a partner in his beer quest. And being what does he actually have? He's now a beer distributor or some shit. He can make beer or something.
He's got
whatever
a little
he has
going. Yeah. I'm actually. That's actually pretty cool.
It actually is pretty cool. No, I'm not just trying to be funny. It actually is pretty cool. But I think he wants you to be a partner, Andy.
So he's a vendor / distributor, microbrew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I saw his Facebook post last week. All the love to him. I'm actually thrilled for him. It's a good job in his part.
You gotta chase your passion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You gotta chase your passion.
Yep.
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 Very cool.
Look at Kim Jones.
Okay. Yeah. Penn State. Joe Paterno.
Later, Andy shared some more observations about the nuances of his job, including a particular city in the middle of California, which somehow ties in, but it's quite a scene. You'll see.
Dave.
Yes.
I got a random question for you.
Okay.
To Coalinga, California?
Yeah, Coalinga. That's where Harris Ranch is. I love Harris Ranch. It's great, great.
You've
meat.
Been to Coalinga, California?
I've actually been there because I wanted to go to Harris. We had to stop one time, and we were at Harris Ranch. And Harris Ranch was awesome. I love the food there. It was so good.
I know, but it smells like cow poo.
Oh, it
right?
does. It smells like ass. The whole place
right?
smells like ass.
Yeah. So you're eating. That's like the In-N-Out Burger, like Shangri-La, like all the beef from In-N-Out is from Harris Ranch and probably a lot of other steakhouses.
Look at that.
So That's what I heard. You eat great steak, but it smells like poo the whole time, and it's in the middle of nowhere.
It really is.
What's the price?
I think everything there is pretty cheap because it's like the middle of nowhere agricultural economy scenario.
Mm-hmm. So you were there. You were in the mixing. That you were having a stop there too?
I was not there.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of my coworkers are there because one of our California stores, the first store that's opening in California, is Coalinga, California, baby.
Wow.
And then we're gonna have. And I was like, oh, Andy's just pitching his firm. I'm not. I don't really give a flying F where we open the stores. But Coalinga, we're opening a store in Coalinga. We're opening a store in Maywood, which is like in East L.A., and then opening a store in Oakland. And the store that I'm looking forward to, Culver City.
Aha!
And then we got Culver City. Now we're talking. Now we're cooking with some gas. Culver City, me baby. And and then there'll be some in the desert too, like Palm Springs, Coachella, that region. It's just funny though, because everyone that goes to Coalinga, they come back and like, gee whiz, like great steak smells like poo. Like seriously, Tommy, it's like I'm not kidding. Like you can Google it. It's like you see like there's so many cows there. Like someone was like, I thought the mountains were moving. It was just a bunch of cows. Like, I swear.
Are you inside or are you eating outside?
It doesn't matter.
You guys are eating on a picnic table.
No, you're inside, but it doesn't matter because it's just that it sticks with you when you go inside. It's so strong.
I was picturing that you guys are like literally 5 feet from cows.
No.
You're at a picnic table eating like fine steak. With like candlelight. I'm like, what the hell is that? I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
Oh god, just yeah. But if you're ever around there, Andy, you really do have to stop at Harris Ranch and have a steak or a prime rib or a tri-tip or whatever. Get something beefy because this is really good.
I know, but the poo. Everyone just talks about the poo smell. T.I. should go there. T.I., next, you got to renew your vows and take a honeymoon trip to Coalinga. Cheap steak and you smell like feces. I mean,
oh, the best. Funny.
Are there a lot of 85-pound women there for him, too? Because we know how he likes them very thin.
Oh, a lot of agriculture over there though.
I don't know about thin women, but maybe the opposite.
No, but it's like the biggest cattle ranch in the country. Mm-hmm. And it's like they graze them, they slaughter them, they make burgers out of them, they make steaks out of them, they fertilizer with the manure. Harris Ranch, baby. But go ahead.
So are you now going to be commuting? Are you traveling a lot to California now because of your job? Are you going to be flying to California a lot?
No, not me. Not yet. Like there's a go team. The people that are like into operations, HR, people that run cannabis stores, they go down there a lot. I'm just, I'll be doing all the finances for the California stores. I think at some point we're going to build a headquarters. The investors, they daydream about a Northern California and a Southern California headquarters. But let's open the Coalinga store first, and then we can talk about multiple headquarters.
So there's a chance down the road you might transfer to California.
Yes, there is. But, I mean, I love it in Seattle. But, like, if I move to California?
Depends on what part of California,
Tom. Would you be upset?
No, there's a higher chance. Right now, there's a higher chance of my mom getting a job when they open a store in Palm Springs selling weed than there is me actually moving to California. But
I think Andy's being smart here.
That would happen down. Those are two things that would happen potentially down the road. But my mom would have to actually like embrace working for the first time in many, many, many years. But she sounds like she would like to be a work as a bud tender down the road.
Gotcha. That's very cool.
It is. Yeah. From September 19th, that was Miss Kicks Football Picks Week 2, Tom and Andy breaking it all down. A lot of different highlights, as you heard. And that is number 2 in our top 5 of 2018. So before we get into number 1, I have this bonus clip from one of our golf podcasts. And on this particular clip, there was a pretty shocking admission by Mike in North Jersey and John in Connecticut. And it definitely took me for a loop. And it kind of ties into a theme of honesty on this program. And I'll tell you, got to give it to him for the honesty, but I certainly didn't see this coming.
I'll tell you right now, I shouldn't say this because I know we know that Urban Meyer probably looked the other way for some bad stuff. If Urban Meyer is suddenly looking for a job, you know, I know this is bad, but I would have absolutely no problem with Notre Dame hiring him.
Wow.
And firing Brian Kelly. Just because, you know what, I just want to win one goddamn time for them that he might actually be able to get it done.
Oh, my God. Wow. Dude. That's crazy. I was waiting for John to react to that, but man, that is nuts.
Well, I honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on, I'll take him too. Like, seriously, I mean, I'd take him. I mean, Brian Kelly legit, like, could be involved in that kid definitely. That's one thing. But hey, like, you know, him, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, bring him up, bring him on. Give me one national title. That's all I want. I'm with him.
Well, looking back at that clip, I think it's clear that in the end, I think a lot of people were willing to give Urban Meyer a chance, and I think I wound up being no different. And you know, I was certainly in the running, asking for him to get to USC, and it was certainly an interesting conversation. So let's get on to number 1 in our top 5 of 2018, and it was the 2018 Oscars preview with a couple quickies in Andy in Seattle. And we covered a lot of good movies on this preview. And I would say that there's definitely a lot to talk about with the selection of Oscar Best Picture nominees from 2018. Not necessarily great movies, but a lot of material for the purpose of this podcast. So here are some of the highlights from that episode. And it's a pretty lengthy series of compiled clips, but I do think that it really captures the essence of all of these movies, and in the usual hilarious fashion with Quicks and Annie in Seattle. Here they come now! Take your attention to the red carpet! Guys, we have a few guests joining us for this Oscars preview this year. A couple quickies and Andy in Seattle. Andy will join us in about 10 minutes. But let's bring in our first guest. He's the quick man. You've heard him on the wrestling shows. He is certainly a guru of movies himself. Quicks, great to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Oh, David, it's such a star-studded night here on the red carpet in Hollywood, California. Oh, the loveliness, the spotlights, the glitz, the glamour, the love, the hammer. Here we are, Dave. We are live in the city out west.
I love it. Yeah, that music really gets me juiced up for this whole thing. It's a good time.
It really does. It is old-time Hollywood in the modern century. Okay. Here's Daniel Day-Lewis eating with a holy lady. Is it his mom? Is it his sister? Who knows? Well, guess what? The women behind me had to have a fucking 5-minute conversation dissecting who it was. If you watch the fucking movie, they'll tell you who it is. Oh, is that his sister? Wait, is that his mother? Who's this? Now, who's the young one? Who's this person?
And this is Andy and I's first time getting together on one of these.
I think you're right.
Andy, absolute legend.
I know. You're
my honor here.
I'm just glad I'm honored and thankful to get the invite, because I know this is definitely your domain with Dave, You know, Dave always, you know, with golf, it's Panther and Checker. With movies, it's you. So I'm glad to just get the little nibble here. I will be fair, and Daniel Day-Lewis did a great job portraying his character. He has to have everything his right, you know, he's very control-oriented, very much into his routine. Oh, look at him. He's so cool. He eats a lot. Oh, he wants his scone. He wants his milk. He wants his tea. He wants his pastry. He wants his eggs. He wants his jam. And make sure it's marmalade. Make sure it's marmalade. And the waitress is like, oh, this guy, he's a hungry boy. That's how he falls in love with the girl. Hungry boy. And let's ask her out to dinner. And so all of a sudden now she's getting into his life where he's making dresses for the upper class of London. And but after that, I think I made a comparison on the board, or maybe not, but it's like that movie was a turd dressed up as an $18 grilled cheese sandwich.
They got them in the car at the end. They bridged the gap. She's trusting the police, I guess, theoretically, but he's not the police, so whatever. You know, the only saint in the movie, though, Dave, I would say, is Peter Dinklage, the great Peter Dinklage as the midget. he was pretty squeaky clean.
Yeah.
I know he's typecast in these midget roles, but, man, he knocks him out of the park. I'll say that for him.
And speaking of typecasting, Octavia Spencer always gets cast as some supporting black lady in some movies, in pretty much every movie lately.
that's just her. That's what I think of when she's in a movie. She's happy. She's always gonna come out on top.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, I'm trying to think back over all the movies she's been in. She's been in a bunch. You know, so
Hidden Figure was great. She was great in that.
Yep. Yeah, this movie
is Prince. That loose as a freaking goose. What the fuck? You hit your pants on for 10 seconds.
Maybe Sandusky has a new career in front of him, huh? Yeah, wouldn't have thought of that. That's an obvious joke. I mean, that's not even a joke. I mean, that's too easy to. But low hanging fruit. But yeah, I mean, the movie was just weird, guys. Like, it's just like, what?
We're gonna do a sequel to this podcast when Paterno premieres on HBO.
Yeah, that's going to be a scene.
What do you mean? What do you mean Jerry was fucking the kid, McQueary? I don't know. I'm too tired. I'm too fucking blind. You know, she's deaf. She's banging a fucking lizard underwater. All right. This shit is getting off the fucking rails. You know? Let's give credit where due, though. For a deaf chick, she had a great ass. So let's not lose sight of that as we're talking about this movie.
A fair point.
Just unbelievable craftsmanship, and it's just, you know, for no end to me. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, art house splash. Let's call it that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, before I go to Andy, did you believe that she was 25? There's no way she's 25. Because it said in her little ID card, which a forged card, that she was 25. She's not 25. There's no way. There's no way. She's got to be at least 35, right? No? Nothing? Okay.
She was fucking 25 when Grease came out.
Well, I don't know how to compute that math because the movie took place in 1962, so I'm going to have to think about that. I'm going to have to bend my mind a bit on that. Anyway, Andy,
well, now that you say that, all right, Dave, let's do a little math now.
Yeah.
25 and 62, that's some hard living in 62. You got to think about people smoking cigarettes everywhere you go.
True, true.
You know, it's rough. And then let's put on top of that, she lives in Baltimore. So add another 5 years onto the old age calculator. So that could be 25 in Baltimore in 1962.
The only time where the movie got like super pretentious and I really wanted to walk out of the theater was when the sea creature and his lover, the main character in the movie,
it went into black and white, and the creature was basically wearing like the like a Planners logo top hat and tuxedo, and they're dancing, and it's black and white, and I'm just like, this is because the director, he's such a delicate fuck. This is the equivalent of Dwight Howard shooting threes in the All-Star game, because he can. This is his, he's got that, he's built up that cachet, so you're going to watch it, and there's nothing you can do about it, because I can do it, because I'm the director, and you better understand it. And if you can't appreciate it, you might as well just watch the Three Stooges for the rest of your life and watch Dumb and Dumber on a constant loop, because you don't appreciate real films. And that scene just really pissed me off. But I mean, other than that, like I didn't really hate the movie. I can't rationalize it. I can't justify the nomination. And if it wins, then I'll be really I'll be like, man, the Academy really screwed this one up this year.
Yeah, I agree with. I mean, look, I also don't think it was a bad movie, but if it wins, it's a disgrace. I mean, seriously, it's not. It really was not that good a movie. I mean, I'm
and
just,
it's got zero rewatchability factor. Like, if your flicking channels a couple of years from now and Shape of Water shows up on TNT, are you like, ooh, I'll stick with it. Florida Project for William Dafoe, and I haven't seen Mudbound for Mary J. Blige.
Okay, so Dafoe.
I did see Florida Project. It's a great movie. It's a lawyer from Connecticut moves to Florida. He finds love.
Wait,
and
wait a second.
He's deciding what to stream in his office during the day. It's great stuff.
I was just saying, like, is that the Yachts movie?
Yeah, he has to relinquish his mod duties too.
That's fantastic.
But then the third act, it gets really hairy when he can't find good pizza. He's gonna decide if he's gonna stay or. All I kept thinking though was, I thought, like, this is the effect of Guardians of the Galaxy on like Adonis type movies, you know, this is Guardians of the Galaxy for quote unquote smart people, where, you know, no matter what you're feeling in the movie, you're watching this poor woman get the shit beat out of her, but it's like, hey, there's an 80s song. This movie's pretty good. I got a good feeling, you know, sure. She's got her head bounced off a wall, but you know, is that Boston? This movie's great. You know,
Yeah, that affects.
So I had a little of that theme with it, but and now that we're talking and we just ran through that list of best supporting actors, Dave, did you see I, Tonya yet, or are you?
No, gosh, everyone's been telling me to see that.
It's worth getting out to, because when you see this fucking guy who plays, who's the fat guy that was in that whole weird white trash love triangle. Sean Ecker.
Tanya's bodyguard. You know, I don't know his real name.
The actor might as well not have a name, because he might as well be just Sean Eckert for the rest of his life. He looks so much like Sean goddamn Eckert from that Jeff Gillooly situation. Whoever played Gillooly might as well be the real Jeff Gillooly, too, because they nail those characters so thoroughly. And I think that probably helps suck you into the movie. You know, you could tell. Like Andy said, Margot Robbie, or whatever, Robbie, whatever the hell her name is, you know. So even though she's playing white trash, she still looks pretty good. You know, definitely is beat up old Tonya, you know. She's beat up old Tonya, but those two playing those white trash bozos nail it, and the fat guy steals every scene he's in. He's fucking tremendous. So, you know, I'm going to give my write-in vote. That doesn't exist for best supporting actor to the fat guy in I, Tonya.
You're going to write it in as the fat guy from I, Tonya, too. I love that.
Obviously, I don't think it's going to win. I don't think it's got enough momentum. The timing of the release is a little out of whack, but very, very good movie.
Good time. Now, I haven't seen it, so I'll defer to Quix for his analysis.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh shit! I don't want to.
No, no, it's all right. It's all right. You know where he's. I think. No, but it's already been a year, so I don't worry about it. I mean, it's. I should have seen it by now, or at least read about it. So no sweat on that.
I'm in the same. Well, I've seen more of it than Dave. I watched a half hour.
From February 28th, that was number one from the Ditkow top five of 2018. The 2018 Oscars preview with a couple quickies and Andy in Seattle. Tremendous work by both in covering all the Best Picture nominees. And it was a privilege just to be a part of it. And it's and it certainly wraps up what has been a very good top five recap of 2018. We hope you enjoyed the show, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. I am Dave Medina. It really has been a privilege to do the show for as long as I have. The 10 years so far, and perhaps another 10 years to come. We'll see where time takes us in that adventure. But we hope you've enjoyed this Ditkow retrospective. And if you want to listen to this and other Ditkow retrospectives again and again, you can go to ditkow.com for that. Or you can go to our Ditkow podcast feed on Apple Podcasts. Just look for Dave in the City Out West. We hope you've enjoyed it. Enjoy all the shows that we've had, past and present, and we'll see you next time. So you wanna be-